Please take your Bibles and let us stand as we turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter 14. We're going to be reading verses 25 and 26 today. Once again, the Lord Jesus is in the process of comforting His disciples. He has told them He is going away. They are disturbed by this, and so He has promised them the Holy Spirit. And now He speaks to them more about what the Holy Spirit will do when He comes upon them. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
When I was in college, I had a friend who slept through 8 o'clock chemistry class. Now, I know that none of you have ever slept through any type of class. I even heard that there are people that sleep through church sometimes. We had this professor that was not the most exciting person in the world, and my friend also worked as an orderly at the hospital, and he would get in late at night, and then he would have to come back to class early in the morning, and he would fall asleep in class. This was freshman year, and his dad had given him a very expensive fountain pen for graduation from high school. And so one day he was sitting in class and he fell asleep and he had the pen in his right hand and his hand fell off the desk and the pen slipped out of his hand and sure enough, wouldn't you know, it landed point down right on the floor, destroyed the point of this very expensive pen. So he got it repaired, but he didn't want that to happen again, and so he would show up for class and have a string tied around the little finger of his right hand and the other end of the string would be attached to the pen. And when he would fall asleep in class and his hand would fall off the desk, the pen would swing about an inch above the floor. Didn't break the point again. But he slept through most of it. The amazing thing was he did well. He's now a doctor, which is kind of scary. But he slept through class, and still he studied the books, and he did fairly well. But I'm sure if you ask him what did Professor so-and-so say during the lecture today, he wouldn't have a clue. He missed it all. Well, that's not an unusual thing, unfortunately. The apostles missed the point of much of what Jesus said during His earthly ministry. And yet Jesus did not flunk them. Instead, He provided them with a tutor, with another helper, with another teacher who would go back and do the remedial work of bringing them up to speed about the things they ought to have learned the first time. They should have gotten it. They didn't get it. And so the Holy Spirit was sent for the purpose, as Jesus says here, to remind them of all the things that Jesus had said so that they wouldn't forget what they needed to be able to write down in Holy Scripture, what they needed to be able to teach others in their ministry. And the Holy Spirit not only taught the apostles then, but He also teaches us, teaches you and me today. Now, they needed help. They obviously needed help. They missed most of what He said. They missed the meaning, at least, of what He said, even when they heard the words. Peter, just in these two chapters, 13 and 14, Peter, when Jesus said that he couldn't follow Him, Peter couldn't follow Him right then, wondered why. He didn't understand what was going on or why he could not follow Christ. Thomas couldn't understand where Christ was going and was totally at a loss as to how to follow Him. Lord, we don't know where You're going. How can we know the way? And Philip wanted Jesus simply to show them God the Father. No, that'll do. And then Judas, not Iscariot, but the one also known as Thaddeus in the other Scriptures, couldn't understand what Christ meant, as we saw last week, about showing Himself to the apostles and not to the world. So they didn't understand this. They were upset because Christ had told them He was leaving, and they weren't really listening to what He had to say following that. It's like a child who hears mommy say, "Now, Tommy, I'm going out for a while, but here's this nice babysitter. And as soon as the word babysitter is out of her mouth, little Tommy begins to go, ah! And from then on, anything else that mommy has to say just goes in one ear and out the other, doesn't hear anything. He doesn't care what else she's got to say. He doesn't want mommy to leave. And that's a lot like what the disciples are doing in these two chapters. They've heard Jesus say he's leaving them. They've heard him say that here comes this babysitter named the Holy Spirit who's going to be with them. And they're crying and whining about, I don't want you to go. I want to go with you. And they're not listening to what Jesus is saying. They need the help of the Holy Spirit to understand what Jesus has said to them and to understand any other spiritual truth as well. Now, all of us need that. All of us need the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives in order to be able to understand and apply and live by the Word of God. We've talked about this before, but let's remember that Paul told the Corinthian church that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And so the problem that the natural man is faced with is, here's spiritual truth, but you can't understand it because in order to understand spiritual truth, the Holy Spirit has to be active in your life and enable you to understand it. And so all of us, by nature, by birth, are without that work of the Holy Spirit in our lives until He comes and gives us regeneration and changes our hearts and causes us to be able to believe. And when the Holy Spirit indeed indwells us, then He also enables us to understand Scripture. Now, He was already in the apostles' hearts for their salvation, but let's remember the time period. Pentecost has not yet occurred. And because Pentecost has not yet arrived, they do not have the fullness of the Holy Spirit as their guide and teacher yet. They are saved, but they're in a period that's different from ours in that the Holy Spirit has not fully been given to the church as yet. The Holy Spirit needs to teach them, and the Holy Spirit did teach them. Jesus says, these things I spoke to you while I was present with you. In other words, He's going to make a distinction, not a contrast, but a distinction between His own teaching during His earthly ministry and the teaching of the Holy Spirit who would come upon them after the day of Pentecost. He promises that it's the Holy Spirit who will make them able to understand the things He has taught after His departure. And so He promises that it is the Holy Spirit who will teach them everything that they would need to know in order to be able to minister in His name. The Apostle Paul tells us more about the work of the Holy Spirit in the two verses that led up to that one that I read a minute ago. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verses 12 and 13, he says this, now we, Christians, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. That's what Jesus says the Holy Spirit will do here in John chapter 14. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so the work of the Holy Spirit then is to enable us to understand the things taught by Christ and also to enable us to see the difference between earthly wisdom and divine wisdom, to be able to compare spiritual truths and understand what is real and what is not. The triune God wanted these disciples of Jesus taught these things. Notice that he says, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name. So the Father is involved, the Holy Spirit obviously is involved, and Christ is involved. God is interested in these apostles learning the truth taught by Christ. And Christ tells them that the Holy Spirit will teach them all things. In other words, everything necessary for salvation and ministry will indeed be taught to them by the work of the Holy Spirit. And even some of the things that Christ did not say during his earthly ministry, the Holy Spirit will bring out and enable them to understand the application of those things in their lives. So the Holy Spirit's going to do this. He's going to do it in such a way that it's going to be a marvel. But they couldn't accept it right then. They didn't have the work of the Holy Spirit going on in their lives. And so in John 16, Jesus is going to go on and say to them, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. There's some things yet to come that Jesus has to accomplish first, and then that the Holy Spirit has to explain to Jesus' disciples. The Holy Spirit was going to come and remind them of things. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. They hadn't really understood. They hadn't paid attention to what Christ was saying. And so the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to remind these apostles of the things that Christ has taught, and he's going to help them understand them, perhaps for the very first time. Back in John chapter 2, we read these words. Therefore, when he, Jesus, had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. It was about tearing down the temple and he would raise it again on the third day. And it was all about his resurrection. And so it wasn't until after these things happened that they remembered this. And it's not until after the Holy Spirit has come upon them to enable them to remember this. In John chapter 12, it says, his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. That's where Jesus is announcing that he's going to go and he's going to be arrested and he's going to be crucified and he's going to die at the hands of sinners. And it's not until after these things take place that the Holy Spirit brings to their remembrance what Jesus said beforehand. Because up until then, even though he said it, they were clueless. They missed the point. They didn't think about it. It just goes right over their heads like nothing has been said at all. And it's not until after the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And so this Peter, who has challenged Jesus about going to the cross at all, who has said, may it never be, to Christ, this same man, Peter, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, this same man stands and tells a crowd of 3,000 that the crucifixion of Christ was ordained by God, and then he quotes Scripture to back up what happened. The same man who didn't understand it beforehand, when the Holy Spirit comes upon him, now because of the work of the Spirit of God, understands why Christ had to die and that God had predicted and promised and prophesied that it would happen in this way. Nothing was lost of all that Christ taught. We don't have to worry about the disciples hunting around through those old notebooks of Bible study notes trying to say, now what did Jesus say on such and such a day? Did you get that? John, do you remember what he said? No, it's not like that. The Holy Spirit enables them to remember those things. The Holy Spirit did this to enable the apostles to write the Bible so that we have what they remembered accurately. He reminded them of all that Christ said so that they would be able to write down the New Testament in a way that was accurate and inspired, and it was truth from God about Christ and the conclusions that could be drawn from that based on that truth. It's the history of Christ as interpreted by the work of the Holy Spirit through men that was written down and that we have today in the Bible. And therefore, we Christians believe that the Bible is inspired, it is infallible, it is inerrant, it is trustworthy, it is accurate, and all of those things. The Bible is inspired. As Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, he goes on in that passage, and he gives us this threefold purpose of Scripture. Scriptures prepare you for salvation and sanctification and service. Those three things. The Bible cannot fail to live up to its threefold purpose. It's useful, it's profitable for the very purposes for which God has designed it and God has given it to men. And that's because God inspired the Bible to be written. So the usefulness of it depends on its being inspired by God. If the Bible were not inspired, it wouldn't be of much use at all. If this book were not the inspired Word of God, it wouldn't be of much more use than something you could find at Books a Million that somebody wrote last week. But because it is the inspired Word of God, it contains eternal truth. And therefore, even though sometimes the culture may be different when we read about certain things, read about shepherds and sheep, read about walled cities and things like that that we don't experience in our own day, yet the truth contained in it and taught by it is absolutely God's inspired, inerrant, infallible Word, and it applies to us. It is God-breathed, as Paul said. That word inspiration, literally, is God-breathed. Now, our English word inspire means to breathe into. And so, literally, when you blow up a balloon, you inspire it. You blow air into it. That's literally what you do. There is a sense in which the Scriptures are inspired in this way, in that it is God breathing into every word of them, but that's not technically the meaning. The Greek word literally means breathed out, not breathed in. But we don't use the word expired for this because we use that for people that croak. Okay, he expired. He breathed his last. He breathed out his last. But that's really what Paul is saying about the Scriptures. They are the breathed out Word of God. Breath, when it comes out of your mouth on a cold morning, condenses and you can see it in front of your face. And it's as though the very Word of God comes forth from the mouth of God and condenses into reality as soon as God speaks. Let there be light. And there's light. It's this type of thing. As God's Word comes forth from His mouth, it takes form. It is condensing into reality. Does that mean then that the human authors of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Moses, all those guys, didn't have anything to do with writing the Word of God? Well, no, it doesn't mean that. Of course they did. But what we believe is that God, by His providence, guided the development of each individual author of Scripture from the time of his conception in his mother's womb all the way up until the time that he wrote the book or books of the Bible that we know and that God called him to write. And that each aspect of each author's individual life, his personality, all of the events that took place in his life were designed and executed by God to produce a unique individual with a unique background and a different style of writing. So that when you read what John wrote and when you read what Paul wrote, you can tell these are different men writing in different styles. But the Holy Spirit, who is the primary author of the Bible, undertook to bring to mind each event and each doctrine that God desired to bring across and that the human authors were writing about so that the choice of every single word was God's choice and yet at the same time fully and completely the choice of the human author as well. We believe the Bible indeed shows different styles of writing, personalities of the authors. And yet that all of the individual parts are exactly what God the Holy Spirit wanted written. A number of years ago, a man by the name of A.A. Hodge said this about the Bible being infallible and inerrant. He said, "Nevertheless, these books are, one and all, in thought and verbal expression, in substance and form, wholly the Word of God, conveying with absolute accuracy and divine authority all that God meant them to convey, without any human additions or admixtures. This was accomplished by the supernatural influence of the Spirit of God, acting upon the spirits of the sacred writers, called inspiration, which accompanied them uniformly in what they wrote, and which, without violating the free operation of their faculties, yet directed them in all they wrote and secured the infallible expression of it in words." In other words, the Holy Spirit worked upon each individual author, and He superintended all that they thought about and the choice of their words, so that while they chose those things, that was what God desired that they choose. The Bible, being divinely inspired, is infallible. It's without error. And therefore, the Word of God in its entirety, the law of God, the gospel, and everything is inerrant, infallible. It's trustworthy. It's accurate. Morton Smith, in his systematic theology, said, in talking about Genesis 1, for example, he said, "Genesis 1 is not poetry or saga or myth, but straightforward, trustworthy history. And inasmuch it is a divine revelation, accurately records these matters of which it speaks." Now, that's what the Holy Spirit did with the apostles, and that's what the Holy Spirit did to enable them to write the Bible. The Holy Spirit also works with you and me today. He works on you and me because, let's face it, just like they needed help, we need help. You need help. I need help. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, you cannot understand spiritual truth. You can memorize all of the Bible from cover to cover. You could go on Jeopardy and run an entire category in Double Jeopardy of Bible questions and get the final Jeopardy answer absolutely right and still go to hell. You could do that because without the Holy Spirit's help in understanding the meaning of these things, they would merely be words for you and with no application and no intersection with your life. And so you need to be taught by the Holy Spirit, or you don't know the truth at all. You don't even know how to think accurately without the work of the Holy Spirit. And so you will need to remember what God says. We too often forget the Word of God quite easily, and we need the work of the Holy Spirit to bring back to mind those things that God has told us in Scripture. Now, how does the Holy Spirit do that today? He doesn't do it as He did with the apostles directly, but He does it by bringing out the written truth of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit helps you and me to understand the truth of what we read in Scripture. You know what it's like? You read a verse and you don't quite comprehend what's going on here. You know it's there and you read it and read it, and you may read it over and over again, year in and year out, and then suddenly, 20 years later, all of a sudden you read that same verse and you go, "That's what it means." Now, there's not something brand new that's happened here. You just haven't understood it yet. It took you 20 years to get there, but it's always been that truth of God. And now you have learned what it meant all along. It's the Holy Spirit who does that. He does it not by teaching new revelations, but by helping you understand what is already written. So I've said it once, and I'm going to say it again. Be very, very careful of those folks that would come to you and would say to you, "The Holy Spirit has given me some new revelation." I would say run away from them. Run to the Word of God and look at what God's Word has to say. So how does the Holy Spirit remind you? Well, He takes what you have read and He causes it to come to mind when you need it. And in order for that to happen, you have to be reading and studying and memorizing the Word of God yourself. You have to do as David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." And so we have to read the Word of God and take it in and absorb it and memorize it And the Holy Spirit will bring that to mind at the appropriate time. He'll enable you to understand. When you are faced with a difficult situation, He'll enable you to understand what the Word of God has said about that all along, so that you'll know what is right and what is wrong. The Holy Spirit's not going to teach new doctrine that you've never heard before. He's going to take the Word of God, and He's going to remind you of it, and He's going to apply it to you afresh. Even the church forgets her history from time to time. If you don't believe me, you look at the Bible. Look at the book of Judges, for example, just this one place. You've got this cycle that's repeated over and over again. God's people sin, and they continue to sin, and they continue to ignore God, and they continue to not repent. And so what God does in Judges is He would send some type of persecutor, usually in the form of a foreign invading army, and they'd come in and they'd persecute Israel, and things would get bad, and Israel would finally say, "God help us!" And then God would send a judge, and the judge would defeat whatever that persecuting army or person or thing was. And then the people would forget the judge, and they'd forget God, and they'd go back into the same cycle again. And it is true that those who do not know history are destined to repeat it, and that happens over and over again in Judges. They don't remember their history, and they continue to repeat the same sin over and over and over again. It's happened in Jesus' day. Jesus would perform a miracle in front of a crowd, and a crowd would immediately ask, "What sign will you do to prove that you are who you say you are?" Jesus has just done a miracle. Just finished. The miracle's not even cool yet. And they would say, "Now what will you do to prove that you are who you say you are?" And so we often, as the church, forget. Because we have periods of blessing, and then we have periods of forgetfulness. And the Holy Spirit reminds us of the truth all over again. I've had some discussion with the men in the last few years over the fact that every generation has to fight the battle of justification by faith alone all over again. Because since that is a foundational issue to the gospel, Satan attacks it, and people forget it, or try to modify it, or try to do something else with it, and they have to be reminded over and over again that we are saved by God's grace through Christ alone. And that is applied to us through faith alone. It has to be rediscovered because we forget. The Holy Spirit brings those things to mind. He takes the Word of God, and He applies the truth of God over and over and over again in our lives. So, this is what the Holy Spirit does with you. He shows you what the Word of God says. He reminds you of it. He shows you what the Word of God means. He teaches you what is said there. And He shows you what to do with it. He applies the Scriptures to your life so that you see how that intersects with what you're encountering today. Is He doing that in your life today? If He's not, then you need to ask some hard questions. Am I a Christian at all? If He is, then you need to also continue to study the Word of God to see what God would have you do, and by the power of the Spirit who dwells within you, do it for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Christ our Savior and King. We thank You for His life, His death, His resurrection. We thank You for all of the wonderful blessings that He brings to us. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would continue to be with us as Your people, that You would continue to teach us from Your holy Word, that You would continue to cause us to grow in grace, and that, Lord, that You would continue to bring to our remembrance the things that are taught in Scripture, that were said by Jesus and by the other apostles and by Your holy prophets of old. Enable us, Lord, to understand and to believe these things and to live by them. We ask all of this through Christ our King. Amen.